from the mind of a 2-foot-tall talking spokes puppet comes this year's biggest challenge. It's time for Bob's Dare to Compare, the hottest game show on TV that asks, what happens when you compare Bob's to the competition? You get style. You get quality. You get beeps and boops and dings and whomps. And thousands of dollars in savings. Everyone's a winner when you dare to compare with Bob's Discount Furniture. Shop in store or at mybobs.com to play now.
Nothing is more important than getting a good night's sleep, and when you don't get the rest you need, your whole day is thrown off. That's why it's so important to choose the right mattress. Sleeping on a Purple mattress is truly a unique experience, because Purple mattresses are made with a GelFlex grid. The GelFlex grid is an innovative material that moves with your body to relieve pressure in areas like knees and hips, and support in others, like your back. It feels soft where you want it and supports where you need it. Purple mattresses instantly adapt when you move. You don't sink in and get stuck like with memory foam. And thanks to over 1,400 air chambers in the GelFlex grid, you will sleep cooler on a Purple mattress. Purple has a wide variety of mattresses, from the original Purple mattress to the Restore Hybrid Collection that combines GelFlex grid with coils, and the Rejuvenate Luxe Collection, the height of luxury, with over 112,000 five-star reviews to prove it. Visit purple.com to find the perfect purple for you and enter code PODCAST10 to get 10% off.
Odyssey celebrates the back-to-school season, brought to you by T-Mobile. You can count on T-Mobile to help you stay connected on America's largest 5G network.
I used a word that didn't exist the last time I was on with you.
Okay. Guru does that every day.
Now, back to Steiny and Guru on 95.7 The Game.
All righty. Good afternoon, everybody. Matt Steinmetz along with Joe Spadoni.
Huge.
Spadoni today.
John Sally.
Guru's a little under the weather. And hopefully he'll be back tomorrow. My computer's under the weather too.
Oh God!
Hey, we're talking about the Warriors general manager Draymond Green, and he's basically talking about Warriors strategy in the off season.
Real quick, before we get to that, you're struggling with your computer. How long did you use a typewriter before switching over to a computer?
Oh boy, this guy.
A lot longer than you thought, right? Come on now, come on.
I'm gonna tell you something about. Thank you. I'm going to tell you something about me and typing. I didn't learn how to type until after college, believe it or not. I would have a nice young lady, Betsy Mayers. She would type my papers for 50 cents a page.
Really?
Yep.
You just didn't want to learn or what? You just didn't care for it?
What the? I just didn't. And then, now, relax, everybody. Then I graduated from college. I was playing.
Wasn't required in school to learn that?
No. No.
Everything handwritten, huh?
We had cursive.
Yeah.
Cursive.
We had to learn cursive in fourth grade, or was it third grade? Shout out Unipro Sarah.
Doesn't matter. You haven't used cursive since elementary school.
Now I use a hybrid.
A hybrid.
My cursive was so bad that they told me to just go back to print and never try again.
Oh, you got that too?
They said, screw it. You suck. Sorry. By the way, the lovely Jade Spadoni texting me, Steiny, not the Xfinity Mobile text line, 888-957-9570. You and Matt are like dad and son. LOL.
I've heard that. Somebody else said that on the text line. I don't know what that means, but thanks, I guess.
I think that's a compliment.
I guess.
I don't know, it might be not a compliment to one of us. I don't know.
File this under useless information.
You have better golf game than I do. Yeah, bonding.
82 yesterday.
Huge.
That's a big round for your boy.
You want to go golfing soon, Steiny?
Sure.
It'd be great.
Sure.
I know Jade's listening, so I'm saying that now out there because I'm telling her I want to go now.
Yeah, I think we can arrange that. I gotta
ask permission sometimes.
Yeah, I graduated from college and then I broke my foot. So I couldn't work, and I used that time to teach myself how to type right out of a book.
There you go.
And now I'm at 17 words a minute, baby.
We had to learn, I think it was fifth grade, so after the cursive in third, then you started going to typing like in fifth grade. We had to do like little typing games, stuff
sure,
like that. Yeah.
Sure.
Sly Fox, I think the game was that you played as like a typing game.
Oh.
Yeah, it was very cool.
Okay. Draymond Green. I don't know if he knows how to type or not, but he knows how to talk. Take a listen to what Draymond Green said on Jeff Teague's podcast.
Regardless of how uneasy he was last year, regardless of how bothered he was, we built that organization. That's a fact. Right.
That organization was the laughing stock of the NBA.
That's a fact, bro.
And so in doing what we've done, there's still a care for the organization. Like, we was just about to make some trades last week. And I told them straight up, like, yo, that trade helped me. Like, it'll help me right now in my career these last couple years and stuff. But I've always spoke to y'all from a place of what's best for this organization. I won't stop now.
Yeah.
That's a bad trade. Like, don't do that trade. Like, I disagree with it, although it's going to help me right now.
Yeah.
And so what Clay just did, and nobody will give him credit for, what Clay just did is he just relieved this organization of the financial hardships that the organization was starting to face. Right? Yeah. You're still doing for the organization. Yeah, but nobody will say that. Nobody will say him leaving, because they'll only make it about, he was unhappy.
He was unhappy. That's been chronicled.
Mm-hmm.
He didn't leave to do a favor to the organization. I don't know why that's hitting me now. Instead of, hey, Joe, I got a couple good trade ideas for you. Oh, I don't like that one, though. Here's a good one. Here's not a good one. Talking about, does Draymond Green really have as big of a voice as he talks about having in that organization? And is that a good thing?
Seriously. I don't think it is at all. And I think right now, Warriors fans, this is such a difficult time, too. Again, I go back to that word tension as we started off the show talking about the 49ers training camp, and we'll get back into it at some point because there's just so many different layers we can peel there. The 49ers are like an ogre. They have onions that you can just keep peeling and peeling away. But with the 49ers, I kind of liken it, too. It's a tense time. It's an unknown period, too.
It is.
That's actually kind of worse, I feel like, in a way. It's just the unknown because we fear that, right?
Exactly.
There's nothing to fear but fear itself, RIP, JFK, stuff like that. But, like, the unknown is what scares people. And right now the Warriors are facing that. They have Buddy Hield, solid role player. And Kyle Anderson, DeAnthony Melton, solid. Maybe there's some upside there. But really the moves you make are just, they're vaulting you into a team that's a play-in team right now. And that's okay. That's okay. Like, you might get in there. You can win a playoff series. That wouldn't be the craziest thing I've ever heard. But that's not good enough for what Warriors fans are used to the past decade. They're used to championships, man. It's tough right now. I get it.
But you know what else I think is going on, too, is, and I don't, there's nothing wrong with this. I think Draymond Green is setting up life after playing, and he wants to be in the front office. He may also want to be on TV, but I think people say they see Draymond as a coach. I don't see him as a coach. I see him as he loves team building, and I think he thinks that he knows, and I'm not saying he doesn't. He's one of the smartest players of all time. He knows what player would really help and what player wouldn't help as much as people think. I do think he knows that.
Steiny, it's funny you bring that up because I remember he was sitting in the room during one of the drafts. I forget what year it was, but it was NBA draft night, and he was part of like the team, right, and doing all that sort of stuff. And I want to say you were doing a show that night, and you were doing it from like a parking lot. I was doing promotions back at 95.7 The Game. Maybe this was in Concord, or maybe this was in Walnut Creek area. It was only for Body Armor. Do you remember that way back when? It's like 2017. I'm going back here. 2017, 2018. And it was, the Warriors had just won a championship, I think. And we were doing draft night coverage. And I forget who they drafted that night. But you were like doing the reaction show or whatever like that. And it might have been you and JD. And I was doing promo then. And Draymond Green was a part of that like whole thing. So that's why, to your point, this has been a thing for a while, like him being a part of all that. And that, hey, listen, that's not like the craziest thing ever, because there's players that have done that, right? Like, you don't think like the Chiefs are talking to Patrick Mahomes, or we're going to take Xavier Worthy here, right? Like, oh, like, what do you think of him? Have you watched his game? Like, no, it's not to the same degree as basketball. I mean, there's different levels to all those different sports. It's apples and oranges sometimes. But right now, for what the Warriors need, I just need less Draymond involved in everything. That's just where I'm at with everything.
Yeah, I think most Warrior fans would agree with you.
That's
there.
Okay if you don't remember the Pleasant Hill thing, by the way. Yeah,
I gotta try to think of that, but I My memory's shot.
It's okay.
Let's go to Oakland Cheesehead. Oakland Cheesehead. We'll wrap this up and get back into 49ers training camp. It's just pretty interesting that Steph Curry and Draymond Green go back-to-back with very provocative quotes. What's up, Oakland Cheesehead? Thanks for calling in.
Cheese.
Well, a couple things.
Yep.
First, Warriors, I think a smart GM and owner listen to the players, but the final decision is obviously with them. But I think the players sometimes, you know, are familiar with the other players in the league and their reputations and who's going to fit chemistry-wise as well as, you know, on paper. So I think that's underestimated. Secondly, you know, with regard to Curry, you know, love the guy. You know, he's been everything to the Warriors, but, you know, if he really wants to not be a bottom feeder, how about maybe considering a Jalen Brunson move and take a little less money on your extension so you can get another star to add to your mix? And, you know, and then you don't have to give up your young core who made a huge jump last year. JK and Tedenski were amazing, and nobody's taken into consideration that they may take another jump this year. And if they do, and Kyle Anderson and Buddy Hield become, you know, continue to be the solid role players that they've been, you know, they could easily make the playoffs and maybe even fight for a home court advantage if they can stay healthy. But I agree with Green. I don't like that trade, whether it's Paul George, Markkanen,
right,
or Ingram. I feel like you're giving up way too much. Let's see what you got. And, you know, with regard to Curry, be careful. You know, you might end up with a Kobe contract where, you know, at the end of his career, he's still scoring 30, but he is the bottom feeder because his contract is sucking so much of the salary cap that you can't sign anybody else.
Yeah.
And then last but not least, on the with regard to the 49ers and Ayuk, be careful what you wish for. I'm a Packer fan, and when we had Davante Adams, they threw the ball to him all the time, so much so that everybody on the other team in big games knew it. And, you know, it cost us a couple chances to get past you guys. And I think Shanahan's offense, just like LaFleur's this year with Devontae gone, spreads the ball around, makes it much easier to find the open man when you're not focused on just one.
Exactly. Exactly. And I think that's Kyle Shanahan's MO. Many weapons as possible. I think his offense is all about diversity. I don't think his idea, hey, you can have any receiver, I'll take Justin Jefferson. Believe it or not, I think the way he looks at it, I'm not saying he thinks he stinks or anything like that, but when you have Justin Jefferson, you better get him the ball. And he better be a focus.
Did you watch the receiver doc?
No.
On Netflix? Okay,
no.
Well, they chronicled Justin Jefferson. When I watched him, I didn't. Obviously, he has this like alter ego when he goes out there and stuff like that, and he's very flamboyant. He's got a dance and all, so he's got the gritty. He's got all this sort of stuff, but that's a lot of just showmanship stuff. Like, I didn't get the feeling that he was this huge, like, major, like, disgruntled diva all the time. Win at the highest level.
I
was very frustrated with his injuries last year.
Yeah, I didn't, believe it or not, I did not mean attitude, demeanor, diva part of it. I mean, like, just in a crazy kind of way, I think Kyle Shanahan wants to design a play, and every single time he designs a play, thinks, well, 25% I'll go to my receiver, 25 to my running back, 25 to my tight end, and then 25 to Deep. Like, that's what his...
You think he's that calculated with everything?
I just think he would rather have a team like the Niners than a team where there was... And I get it's McCaffrey. I don't know. I just think that he looks at a number one go-to option, not as bad, but in some way it limits you because you know you got to go in that direction a certain amount of times. And the defense is probably going to know that too. I'm not saying he'd kick Justin Jefferson to the curb, but I wonder if he would.
What you're saying is, like, I feel like he's getting too cute here. Gets a little too cute.
No, my question is this. Let's just say hypothetically, 49ers are the same team, and instead of Ayuk, they had Jefferson.
Yes, they're better.
But does Jefferson catch 110 balls here as opposed to Ayuk catching 75?
If Kyle Shanahan didn't at least slightly adjust his offense to feature Justin Jefferson more, then there is a problem. Right now, Brandon Ayuk is not on his level. That's okay. I'm not saying he's a bad player. He was second team All-Pro last year. But when you have a chance to get the best players, you go after them. That is why when they had an opportunity to get Tom Brady and didn't after the Super Bowl loss the first time, Jimmy Garoppolo, I think that he's never going to live that down. I don't know if he ever wins a Super Bowl. I do know that they made the trade for Tom Brady, or it wasn't a trade at that point. He just signed Tom Brady and traded away Jimmy Garoppolo. You would have had a Super Bowl by now.
Maybe.
But part of that is tailoring an offense to Tom's skill set and having to have a little give and take. And I don't know if Kyle is willing to let quarterbacks have that much say within his offense and dictate certain things. Brock Purdy, all he is known is Kyle Shanahan, so he's going to do whatever the hell he tells him to. And right now, Kyle Shanahan is going to get potentially Brock Purdy paid, according to Bill Barnwell. We can get to that article a little bit later from ESPN. What he's saying is maybe $325 million. So I'm sure Brock Purdy loves him some Kyle Shanahan. He'll do whatever he tells him to do. But guys that have already been established, guys like a Tom Brady, he's going to come in with his own ego and say, you know what? Yeah, I think we should do this instead. I think we should make this a more of a focal point. I think if I'm bringing in a Rob Gronkowski here, I think we're going to do two tight end sets more and more with George Kittle, with Rob Gronkowski. We're going to do a lot more stuff that maybe Josh McDaniels implants a little bit. Maybe we'll... And how does that make Kyle Shanahan feel? Well, maybe it doesn't make him feel all that good. Maybe he wants to be the guy. I think that's how a lot of the 49ers fans feel personally.
From the 925, this is kind of what I'm getting. Oh, I'm sorry, from the 415, this is kind of what I get into. He just says, you become predictable. That's exactly the word that I was looking for. And I think the one thing Kyle Shanahan never wants to be is predictable. And you might say, well, what about McCaffrey? And see, this is what I would say. Okay, when they had Mostert and when they had running backs who were leading the team in rushing, five different ones for five different years, none of them were great at catching the ball out of the backfield. So when he got McCaffrey, he looked at McCaffrey as, well, now I not only have Mostert, a 1,000-yard rusher, but I also have a guy who can catch out of the backfield. This is great. Now I got a player who can run and catch. Okay? Then he's got Ayuk. Then he's got Debo. Then he's got Kittle. I just think he loves that idea as opposed to Raheem Mostert, obviously, who is going to run the football. And when you give it to him, he's going to run it. He's not going to catch it out of the backfield. I just think there's something.
You want versatility.
Yeah,
yes.
But he really, really wants it. Like, that's, I think, part of his hallmark. That's what he wants to build a roster like. And if it means we take a little less of a quarterback, you know what I mean? If it means our quarterback isn't going to be Justin Herbert, then I'd rather have it that way with three or four weapons. Now, he might not have a choice in a year.
I was going to say, he's going to have to start paying him like he's Justin Herbert, though. Like, that's another thing in all this. You're going to have to give up some sacrifices. And if you pay Brock Purdy that much money next year, you're going to have to do some cost cutting, and you're going to have to get guys that are going to be a little bit more predictable, to your point. They're not going to have, maybe you're not going to have the versatility or the plethora of players at the receiver position when it comes to Debo, Ayuk, and Kittle. Maybe you have to do cost cutting and only get to keep one of those guys. And that's going to start being, when push comes to shove, on how good Brock Purdy is when he doesn't have all these weapons around him. I think a lot of 49ers fans, and maybe less so Niner fans, but more so, you know, the public and the outside media are willing to see, is like, hey, how good is this guy? Because we just saw Patrick Mahomes, and again, it's unfair. I'm not trying to compare him to Patrick Mahomes. I'm just using him as the standard, the gold standard. He just took the Chiefs to the Super Bowl and beat the best NFC team in the 49ers and the best team all season, quite frankly, in the 49ers. And his best weapon was a 35-year-old Travis Kelce. Hall of Famer, but he didn't have any receivers. And Marquez Valdes-Scantling, who was dropping the ball half the time. Yeah, he had Rashee Rice, who was a rookie, who was good, but let's use a rookie. And now Rashee Rice has all those other problems, and that's in the conversation for another day. But that was the year you needed to beat the Chiefs or the Niners. That was the year. That was the offense. And now they got Xavier Worthy, first-round pick out of Texas, who's basically the new Tyreek Hill, they hope. And then they got Marquise Hollywood Brown, who is a PPR machine.
Well, I'll put it this way. This is one of the reasons, and I get it. Brock Purdy is better than Jimmy Garoppolo. Okay,
yes.
let's
I will
all
agree on that.
Acknowledge that. But I also think one of the reasons that he's better than Garoppolo, but what Shanahan likes infinitely more out of Purdy than Garoppolo is Purdy's more diverse. Like Purdy makes more plays with his feet. Not too many plays with his feet, because I don't think Kyle likes that either. Kyle needs like that perfect balance of, you only run when you're in a little bit of trouble, and when you do run, I'm going to need you to always get a first down. You know what I mean? And never fumble. And so like one of the reasons Purdy is way more up his alley is because Purdy doesn't just drop back and throw. He can drop back and throw. Well, he can throw the short ball pretty well. He can throw the intermediate ball better than Garoppolo. And, okay, we'll see how he throws bombs, in a year or two. But he can make plays with his feet. And I just feel like he wants guys like, look at Deebo Samuel. Rushes and catches. McCaffrey, rushes and catches. Purdy can throw and can make some plays with his feet. I just think those guys, that's kind of what he wants, those kind of players.
Well, it's funny you say that, specifically with the quarterback, because I feel like the guy he's been linked to all along with quarterbacks has been Kirk Cousins, who's not known for his legs.
True.
He's very robotic in how he does stuff. Now, I do think, to your point, the Purdy improvisation skills, I didn't know he had that in his bag. I don't even know if Kyle Shanahan did. Now, he did some at Iowa State, but it's a different speed at the NFL level.
Right.
And it just feels like he is always just a step. Not that he's Lamar Jackson, but he is a step ahead, just a slight step. And that goes back to the brain. That goes back to the brain and just seeing the field the way he does. He's a step ahead of these DBs sometimes, these linebackers. It just feels like every time he just gets away from them. And to your point, that was a massive part. And you saw that when he took over in that game against the Dolphins, his very first game, just taking over. Like, how many times did he run for a first down and scramble and scrambled? And now that's part because of the defense game plan for Jimmy Garoppolo, who wasn't very mobile and stuff like that. But also, that's just Purdy, man.
Right.
And that's another thing in all this is, what's Purdy's next big jump? Is it being more discerning and running it even more? Because Shanahan alluded to that in his presser there. He's like, hey, if he wants to run even more, they're fine with that and stuff like that. He bulked up this year. He said he added a few pounds, so he's getting stronger. Now his frame is still, like, what is he, 6'1", 6 foot? Like, he's not the tallest guy in there. He's thick, but he's not very tall. I would still like to keep my guy. I'm paying $325 million. I would like to keep him protected, and I would not like to see him taking unwarranted punishment, if you will. But if he's going to be getting away from all these guys constantly, yeah, use your legs more, absolutely.
Yeah, it's interesting. It's interesting. And Kyle Shanahan, obviously, this year, he and John Lynch, they got to figure out. I think they're, what do you think's going on with Ayuk? What do you think's going to happen? Let me just throw that out there.
I think he plays this year and then he's gone.
So he's playing for $14
million. Yeah.
And they won't franchise him.
No.
I think
what's going to happen is they are going to restructure or extend, however you want to phrase it. Get a new contract for Trent Williams, give him more guaranteed money, and they're going to let Ayuk play out, and then he's going to go, and then there's going to be some decisions next year for skill position players. But I do believe rookie Pearsall was drafted to be a replacement for him.
Yeah. For him or for one of them?
For him. I don't think they were ever... I think people called in about Deebo. I don't think they were ever seriously going to move on from Deebo.
Yeah.
And from what I've heard from training camp, is Deebo is looking like a monster in training camp.
And I wonder if... I'm not saying he's not looking like a monster, but I wonder if he looks like more of a monster because Ayuk's not there.
That is a good point. but that's the thing.
Right?
Hey, look at me now. And I do think Deebo has a lot to prove this season. I do think he was played well last year, but the thing for Deebo is always going to be health for me.
Right.
And that's why I do think 49ers fans were thinking about it like, hey, if I'm banking on the future of both these guys, wouldn't I rather have Brandon Ayuk on this team? Now, I think the upside goes to Deebo Samuel. What he does, you just can't quantify. Like, he took the soul out of the Philadelphia Eagles, Steiny. He talked that talk leading up to the game, and then he walked the walk, and he snatched the souls of Philadelphia a la Shang Tsung in Mortal Kombat.
Oh.
Do you get that reference? You used to play Mortal Kombat.
Of course. Come on, Mortal Kombat with a K.
There you go. He knows it, baby.
Who's Shang Fui?
Shang Tsung.
Oh, Shang Tsung.
Your soul is mine.
Well, who is he?
Well, he's the villain.
Oh.
And the movie. You ever see the movie?
No.
Johnny Cage, Liu Kang.
Animated.
Raiden. No, live action.
It's animated.
No, the game is. There's a live action movie.
There was two.
888-957-9570. Your favorite Mortal Kombat character to play with.
Wasn't that a video game?
Yes.
So it's a video game?
But
it's a movie?
They made a movie based off the video game.
I don't like that. Okay. I just don't like that. Is it a game or is it a movie?
If Deebo Samuel, I said Shang Tsung, but Deebo would be more like Jax, the guy with like the robot arms. That's kind of who he is.
Same Mortal Kombat?
Yes.
I got you. Well, who would he be on Game of Thrones? Yeah, I haven't seen that either.
He's not the Mountain, because that'd be more like Trent Williams.
Viper? How about my Game of Thrones reference the other day? You got it.
Which one?
We have a security door here that's tough to get into, and if it shuts, you got to wait. So you always want somebody to hold the door.
Oh, I did get that.
Hold the door, and then that turns into Hodor, right?
Spoiler alert, but yes.
Yeah.
It's all right. The show just tanked after that whole episode anyway.
Oh, really?
It's horrible. Did you watch last season?
No, I didn't watch it.
You didn't miss much.
Never seen it. Hey, don't forget all guests on 95.7 The Game appear on the River Islands guest line. Isn't it time for you to discover the islands, River Islands in Lathrop? All right, on the other side, we got to get into training camp. Day two today with the 49ers, and there's a lot of sound I want to get to involving Shanahan, involving Ricky Pearsall, involving Brandon Ayuk, and of course, Trent Williams, who's not there. We'll update all that on the other side. What's coming up on The Game is presented by Fremont Bank, celebrating 60 years of full-service banking with no compromises.
Mortal Kombat character to play with.
Wasn't that a video game?
Yes.
So it's a video game?
But
it's a movie?
They made a movie based off the video game.
I don't like that.
Now, back to Steiny and Guru on 95.7 The Game.
All right, Joe Spadoni in for Daryl the Guru Johnson. No jokes. No jokes. The man is under the weather. Respect it.
The Guru flu.
Here's how I'm going to start this segment with a YouTube comment from Pierce Evans, who's on there quite frequently. And he's basically saying that McCaffrey touches the ball 35% of the time. So they are kind of one-dimensional. My point is that McCaffrey...
Those are just touches, though.
Right.
They don't talk about the receiving
exactly.
end of them, the rushing end. He does everything.
Exactly. That's kind of what I mean, Pierce. I'm not saying you're wrong. I'm not saying McCaffrey isn't the most important part of their offense. But I think the fact that McCaffrey does two things, he views McCaffrey as 65% runner, 35% pass catcher. But that's neither here nor there.
We're getting comps we're getting comps, Steiny.
To
Mortal Kombat characters for Deebo Samuel.
Feng Shun?
You're making up names. You're thinking of Shang Tsung.
Yeah. Yeah, you got it.
Not Oakland Mayor Shang Tao, different.
Is she still the mayor?
We go through
mayors every 3 months in Oakland, it feels like.
Election in a couple months. 707, he's going Sub-Zero. If you don't know who that is, he's the blue ninja.
Right.
And he like freezes people.
Oh.
So he's ice cold. He's got ice in his veins.
I'll tell you what, I'm ready to open up the phone lines, and the first person who can say, give me the last four Oakland mayors, I'll give you $100.
Hold on.
Hey, nobody can come up with
Shang
that list.
Tao.
Okay, who's before Lady that?
Schaff.
Okay.
Boy, before
night,
that.
Night.
I don't know.
Who was the guy?
You've lived here longer than I have. I've lived in Oakland for like 5-6 years now.
I'll tell you the one guy I remember. He had a cup of coffee in the mayor's office. Ron Dellums.
Sure.
Ron Dellums.
The great Ron Dellums.
The respected Ron Dellums.
Sure.
All right, we're talking about 49er training camp. People who listen know that I'm not a fan of one particular team. But I do, and so whenever I characterize the fans. People say, you have no idea what you're talking about. Fine, I don't. I want to know if most fans are like Guru, who worries about everything, or most fans are, listen, this is all par for the course. And what I'm getting at is all the stuff that's happening for the San Francisco 49ers. Now, I know if Guru were here today and I said, Guru, what do you think? Oh, Steiny, I don't like it. They got Trent Williams. He's out. They can't win without him. They got Ayuk.
Did he say he was fine with Trent Williams and he was going to sign yesterday, like at 4:30?
Well, that's just another bet he lost. And, Ayuk and Steiny, they can't win without him. And, boy, what if Purdy regresses? I'm so worried. And it, all right, well, let me throw one more into the equation, and then I want to ask some 49er fans how significant they think this is. What do you think of this? This is Herm Edwards, and he was on, I gotta believe, with the Morning Roast, or was it yesterday?
He was on with Willard and Dibbs, and Herm Edwards, by the way, the pride of Monterey, California, graduate of Monterey High School, right next to Pacific Grove, where I grew up,
right,
and went to Monterey Peninsula College, where I also went.
That is a lot of family money we're talking about right there down on the peninsula.
Community college, but go ahead.
Well, yeah, true.
In California.
Hey, Ricky Pearsall, he's not practicing. Nothing to worry about, right, Herm?
He's a guy you got to be careful with. He overworks. He's that kind of guy. And he had some hamstring issues when he was with us as well, you know, because he's one of the guys, doesn't want any rest. He goes 100 miles an hour. You got to protect him from himself, you know, and I told John and them that when they drafted him. I said, the thing you got to do with Ricky now, he's going to go hard. He doesn't understand this is a walkthrough. This is, you know, that's how he functions. So he'll be fine.
I love how he ended that. Yeah, he's good.
He'll be fine.
He works too much. It's like, you know, you say your biggest weaknesses are actually your strengths. You know, I just work too hard sometimes, Steiny. I care too much. That's Ricky Pearsall. He just works too hard sometimes.
Yeah.
That's all right. Wouldn't you rather have that, though, than the opposite, where he doesn't work hard enough? Like, you know, the Jamarcus Russell situation, where the guy, they would quiz him at home on certain plays. They gave him a blank disc, and they asked him which play he liked, and he said, the third one.
I feel
nothing
like
nothing on there.
You know what?
It's an all-time story by Kirk Morrison, by the way, former Raider.
Let me ask you this. Do you believe it?
Yes, I believe that. You kidding me? The Jamarcus Russell thing, right?
Yes.
Yes, not even close.
Right. They gave him something to look at, and he said, oh, yeah, that was good. There was nothing on the
thing. Yes, I believe that. I think Al Davis would do something like that, too. Like, let's come on.
Oh, boy, I got my daughter calling me on FaceTime, and she's in Barcelona right now, and obviously he's gotten mixed up on the times.
Okay. I don't know what the FCC regulations are on that. You just have to tell her if she's on air, but take it if you want.
Let me see if she texted me, because it could be an emergency.
Oh, yeah, you'll do
that. What can I do? I'm 7,000 miles away.
You got to be like Liam Neeson and Taken.
Right.
Got to go help out.
What do you need, bail money?
There you go. Yeah, that wires real fast.
Does it really?
Well, it should. I mean, if it's connected to your bank. Zelle, that works internationally.
I don't
right?
do Zelle, I do Venmo.
Well, that's even more international then. It should be fun.
Yeah. Aqib Talib was on also with Willard and Dibbs yesterday. I like the player. Here's what he said first, and I forget when this was on, but this was not with him. But this was his original comment about Ayuk and.
This was on with Adams on the Up and Adams podcast.
Yeah, take a listen.
Hey, Ayuk is emerging. I think he's probably my top three receivers right now. If you get him with a real quarterback, he can go crazy.
It's Brandon Ayuk is your top as a top three receiver?
Man, I don't really go off the stats. I go off the player and his body control, his routes, his hands, his speed. He can easily be a top receiver in the league. If you put him on a team and you make him the focal guy, he'll go crazy.
Why didn't Kay Adams say, what do you mean a real quarterback? Like, I don't care how critical you are of Brock Purdy. You can't say he's not a real quarterback.
Well, Aqib Talib joined Willard and Dibbs yesterday, Steiny.
That's right.
And he did elaborate what he meant by a real quarterback. Should be the fifth one in green. See him?
Like a pass first type of offense, you know what I'm saying? Like a Peyton Manning, Denver Broncos style of offense where he's going to get, Demaryius Thomas is going to get 150 balls thrown to him. 160 balls thrown to him. The Bills have a pass-first offense. Diggs is the focal point of that offense. He's going to get 160 balls thrown to him. The Cowboys have a pass-first offense. CeeDee Lamb is going to get 160 balls thrown to him. The Niners have a run-first offense, and they got a bunch of guys, and they're going to spread the ball around. So the most targets you're going to get out there is about 90 to 100. So he's getting 60 to 70 less targets than a legit number one receiver. So that's what I mean. I ain't want to take nothing away from Purdy. Purdy's a hell of a player, and he's in a great system. He's doing his part. All you can do is play the hand that you're dealt, and Purdy is doing an amazing job running that offense. But I think it's a lot of guys who you could put in that quarterback, and they'll be able to run that offense.
The way he says it, 49er fans will not like that. The way he runs that system, the way he runs that offense, he's a very good player. It always goes back to system quarterback when it comes to Brock Purdy.
It does. I like when he at least said, look, they're a run-first team.
Yes.
That's really what we're talking about. And here's what I believe. You tell me if you agree with it.
It is funny that he brought up Demaryius Thomas and the Peyton Manning Broncos, because he was on that team, but he was on the team that won the Super Bowl. They were a run-first team.
Right.
Defensive team.
Do you think if Kyle, here's what I think. I think Kyle's number one philosophy is to be a run-first team. And a run-first team in today's NFL...
He wants 30 carries, right?
That's means 50-50, essentially. To me, it's not run-first means the old Ohio State teams three yards in a cloud of dust and they run. Or it's not like Michigan played last year on the way to the winning the national title.
Don't you slide J.J. McCarthy, first-round pick quarterback?
He stinks.
Niners will see him week 2.
Hopefully.
Better than Darnold. Come on. He's gone.
Yeah. Darnold getting reps.
Same ghost.
Darnold getting reps. Anyway, I think it's part of Shanahan's core philosophy. He wants to be run first, which to me means 50-50. So, let me ask you this. Do you think there's a quarterback or receiver out there that could make him think, you know what? I'm not run first anymore, because I still don't think he would want to change that dramatically from what he believes in, which is run first, 50-50, 50-50.
Well, he could have had Tom Brady. And Tom Brady can throw the rock. He could run it. Like, the thing is...
Okay, what would you do if you had Tom Brady and McCaffrey, which they could have had? Then what? How often do you throw it? How often do you run? Do you think they run McCaffrey less?
Probably,
because
you want to save them, right? And look at those New England offenses. They used to throw a lot to their running backs, obviously, but it was by committee, too. He had James White, but throughout the years, he had so many different guys. He had Ben Jarvis, Green Ellis. He had Jonas Gray, didn't show up one time, got cut immediately. You can go back to Corey Dillon days. Like, they had a lot of different people there. But, or you can go to Ronald Jones over at the Buccaneers and Leonard Fournette, obviously. But I think when you have Tom Brady, you can take the load off of a Christian McCaffrey, because he kind of uses those short intermediate routes like a running game.
Right.
That's what he did with, you know, Edelman, all those little slot guys, Danny Amendola. You kind of supplement the passing as a running game, if you will, a little bit. So you can save McCaffrey there. You can also utilize in the short passing game, obviously, as well. He's very good at that. But you would like to use a little bit more of a Elijah Mitchell, sure.
But I guess what I'm asking is, if Tom Brady were a 49er and they had two shots at it, would Kyle Shanahan try to coach him like Belichick? And to me, Belichick is a coach who... What's the strength of our team? Well, it's Tom Brady. Okay, so we're going to utilize him all the time.
Little different, though, because Belichick was defensive-minded first.
Right.
So I do think he has his fingerprints way more on the defense than the offense, because it really was just Josh McDaniels, the OC, and Tom Brady, and it was their kind of baby, if you will.
I guess what I'm saying is I think Kyle's philosophy might supersede his personnel, no matter what it is.
Oh, that sounds...
arrogant?
Yeah, that is exactly the word I wanted to say. He's like, come on. I mean, you've gotten to the Super Bowl twice, but has that arrogance prevented you from winning it a little bit? Like, I hate to say that, because he's gotten so damn close, and maybe that's unfair of me to say that, but I just, with all the sound coming out, maybe we play it, just, he could have had Tom Brady. Like, you could have had Tom Brady and you didn't go get him. Like, that's the thing that it really just... And Sam Lubman and I were talking about this morning. Shout out Sam Lubman, doing a great job on Garlic Fries and Baseball Guys podcast with Joe Shasky. Don't go anywhere else, Steiny, for your Giants talk. Garlic Fries and Baseball Guys, an Odyssey podcast.
Mm-hmm. It absolutely is.
I was talking to him about if they got Tom Brady back in 2020, right after they lost the Super Bowl, they go all in on Tom. I still think he'd be the quarterback of this team. Even at 46, 47, however old he is right now.
Interesting.
I still think he would be the quarterback of this team because he's that good. And I don't think his arm has really fallen off. They could have had him. How can he not be frustrated with that? And that goes back to thinking he could win with Jimmy Garoppolo. And we knew all along he didn't get along with Jimmy Garoppolo. So why was he so hell-bent on sticking with him? Because they paid him? Like, did he have to eat that contract? Like, Tom Brady is known for taking pay cuts, Steiny. You had the opportunity to get him, and I'm sure he would have signed for the cheap. I'm sure he would have had a dead cap hit trading off Jimmy Garoppolo after the Super Bowl, and his value had to have been pretty good. He just got you to the Super Bowl. I didn't get that.
Well, let's take a listen to that one, because I have a rebuttal for that, and I think Kyle basically talked about what it was. This is a little lengthy, but it's worth listening to, because Kyle Shanahan takes Tim Kawakami of the TK Show podcast, takes him through it all, like 5 years of his thought process on the quarterback situation and how Brady either fit in or didn't.
I have to feel very confident just from a football standpoint and from just a relationship standpoint and what's right and wrong, kind of, to feel good about doing something. And I felt very good about that and comfortable. So it wasn't a hard conversation for me with Brock. You'd have to ask him about it. It's not always the best thing that you want to hear. But I thought when I explained it, I looked at it as a huge compliment. You know, after the 2019 season, that was Jimmy's first year as a starter and in his career. And he did some really good things. And we almost won a Super Bowl. He was a young quarterback. We had only played with 1 year. And to get a call a few weeks after that with Tom Brady wanting to come play for us, that was one of the hardest things I've ever gone through in my life, because Tom Brady is the best quarterback to every play. He's who I've watched since day one of when my career started, and that was kind of a dream of mine, and I knew how good he was. But I also knew we had a very young quarterback who had got us that far, and to sit and risk that young quarterback with, I forget how old he was at the time, 41 or whatever, I could just kept thinking, like, what if he comes in at that age, pulls a hamstring, and now I've messed up Jimmy and all that. So it wasn't a fun decision, but I thought for the not only just that year in the long term, it was something that we couldn't mess with. We had to stick with Jimmy at the time. Nothing against Jimmy. But it was hard to avoid Tom. And then watching how that went and stuff, it was tough. And I was like, man, if I ever had a chance again with Tom, that's something I can't pass up. And at the end of the season, when Brock, who we knew was going to be our future, but when he got hurt and no one could guarantee that he was going to be healthy in week one, that he'd for sure come back the right way, there was a lot of speculation in it and no one could guarantee it. I did want to reach out to Tom. Now, Tom was the only guy. I was willing to ride it and risk with Brock's injuries. I told Brock that. I said, Brock, in these 7 games, you've shown us, like, you're not going to be competing with Trey next year. If you come back healthy, it is your job. The only way it won't be your job is if Tom Brady decided to come here and play 1 year. And I told him this like a week after the season, which I felt confident with because he was hurt. There was questions with him. And I was telling him about Tom Brady. And so I felt very good when I told him, hey, I know we spent a lot of picks to go get Trey. I know you've only played 7 games. You have a bad injury. But we believe you in you, and you are a guy of the future. The only way that won't happen is if Tom Brady comes for 1 year. And so I kind of looked at it as I was giving him the keys. I was telling him how much and saying there's this one outside chance, but I'm going to be dead honest with you. Anything in the back of my head. And that's the only thing in the back of my head. And probably there's not a very high percentage that's going to happen. So I felt like he should be leaving the room thinking, man, they believe in me. Like, the only guy he'd even consider is Tom Brady. So I kind of looked at it as a compliment. And Tom was done. And so it made it real easy. And once Tom told us that, just started counting the days to when Brock could get healthy. We worked really hard with Sam, really hard with Trey, got the depth of our quarterbacks behind Brock well. And Brock did heal up and he came out and tore it up in training camp, tore it up in week one, and had a hell of a year.
Do you think Kyle Shanahan believes that it was a compliment to Purdy and that Purdy took it as a compliment, that he was the guy, but for if Tom Brady wanted to play there? Like, this is where I think things are fascinating. Do you really think Shanahan believes that?
Brock Purdy has spoken on it before and basically said, I get it. He's the GOAT. Now he's saying that publicly.
Right.
How does he feel privately talking to his boys? Like, I mean, you kind of have to be a little bit, you know, realistic if you're Brock Purdy.
Exactly.
Like, you have to be saying, like, hey, listen, from his perspective, I played how many games was it? Eight games, whatever right. it was, including the playoffs. Like, he's the greatest quarterback ever. Like, and he's not showing signs of slowing down. He just, a year removed from winning a Super Bowl. Yeah, I can sit behind him if I'm the backup and I could live with that. And maybe then I'm the heir apparent going forward. I do think Brock, judging from what I've seen from him, he's not a selfish, insecure player. I just don't think that's how he's wired. I mean, I think he has a chip on his shoulder. He's Mr. Irrelevant. I think you have to have a chip on your shoulder to be a quarterback in this league at some point. But he did not have the logs of games under his belt to say, you know what, that's too far. Now, if he had started, like, let's say it was this past year, Steiny.
Okay.
He just had this past year, and Tom Brady's still around, and he's still putting up
a right tremendous
amount. Right now.
Yeah.
I do think I would be pissed. Be like, dude, I was just top five in MVP. What are you talking about?
Right.
That sort of thing. Because that's kind of like more closer to what Jimmy Garoppolo was going through from hearing from Kyle Shanahan, right?
Right.
So,
to me, there's a lot going on here. One is, I hear Kyle Shanahan saying, for whatever reason, when Jimmy was here, if I brought in Tom Brady, there were two things I was worried about. One is, what if Brady gets hurt, and then I have to go back to Garoppolo? And what I heard Shanahan saying was, if that's the scenario, I don't think Jimmy's going to handle it. I think Jimmy will be, he used it, mess up Jimmy. Mm. Why? Probably because Jimmy was at a different point in his career than Purdy was.
Yeah.
Garoppolo was ready to be a starter in this league. He had taken the team to the Super Bowl.
You don't think they trade him, though, real quick?
Who?
Like if they acquired Tom Brady at the end of the 2019 season, they just came short of the Super Bowl
right.
against the Chiefs. Like, I would try to trade Jimmy Garoppolo at that point to a quarterback-needy team, right?
I wonder. Well, but it sounded to me like what Shanahan was saying
bring
is...
Bring Brian Hoyer or something behind him, who you already had in your system, who's been a career backup for Brady forever.
But it sounds like the best-case scenario for Shanahan was like, let's bring Brady in here, and if he gets hurt, we still got a starting-caliber quarterback in Jimmy Garoppolo, who I know already got us to the Super Bowl. But we can't do that, because if that scenario were to play out, I'm not convinced that Jimmy would handle it all right. It might mess him up. So what I'm getting at is, oh, and then I decided after that, I had to tell Brock Purdy that if it were, well, Brock Purdy had played seven games for the 49ers. He'd gotten hurt the last game of the season. And while I don't think it matters anymore, the reality of the situation is he was the last pick in the draft. Yeah. What's he going to do? What's Brock Purdy going to do?
Exactly.
He's going to handle it like a professional.
Great. You just went on like a Nick Foles type run that he had with the Eagles. He came up short. Sucks. He got hurt. It is what it is. Sorry.
Right.
This is the greatest quarterback of all time. This is just the business. You'll get an opportunity maybe after if he only lasts a couple of years. Okay. Or if he gets hurt, you'll be on the backup. All right.
And I think it came down to, he knew Purdy would have had to have handled it if Brady comes in here, but I think he knows he would have lost Jimmy. Like, he just would have lost him, and then you got Tom Brady better play 17 games for you and be healthy for the playoffs.
And he made, I wonder how Kyle Shanahan felt watching him win that Super Bowl.
That's a great question.
And dominating the Kansas City Chiefs, a team that he has now lost twice to. That has got to eat you up. Seeing that person that you could have had dominate the Chiefs, and granted the Chiefs didn't have their two starting tackles. That's a big part of it. If they didn't have their two starting tackles against the San Francisco 49ers, the 49ers probably would. But the fact of the matter is, the Bucs won that year with Tom Brady, and Tom played like an MVP. Played like an MVP after that season, too.
He did.
MVP went to the Aaron Rodgers. I think it should have gone to Tom Brady. Threw for like 5,000 yards at age 44 or something ridiculous like that. He's just incredible. The more I hear about that, the more angry I'd be if I was a 49ers fan, because you should have had a Super Bowl by now with Tom Brady. And you could have. And knowing what we know now, Steiny, him and Jimmy didn't get along at all. Like, yeah, he never saw eye to eye with that guy. I don't know if it was post-injury.
And that's probably why one of the reasons he didn't do it is because he knew his relationship with Garoppolo wasn't the greatest. And that's
why you should have done it, because it wasn't great. Like, Tom Brady is notoriously butting heads with all of his OCs. You can see him yelling at Bill O'Brien when he is the OC there. You've seen him yelling at Josh McDaniels. He always has his iPad. He throws it. You've seen him yelling at Bruce Arians, the head coach out in Tampa. Like, he gets into it, guys. He would get into it with Kyle Shanahan. But I think that's a small price to pay for Kyle for glory in winning a Super Bowl.
Well, he's gotta Brady...
He's got to put his ego aside. I think that's what it was.
Well, maybe that was another thing. I do think there's something to Kyle Shanahan. He wants a lot of things out of his quarterback on the field, but the one thing he better be on, you better be coachable. And Brady doesn't really need to be coached.
No, but I think he would be like, will be receptive to a guy like Kyle Shanahan. I think he respects Kyle Shanahan. I think you have to be aware of who you're talking to if you're Kyle Shanahan, the greatest quarterback of all time. But Brady's going to come in there, and what does he want to do? He's built like Kyle in that they want to win at the highest level constantly. There is no bigger competitor than Tom Brady. I know we're up against it, but I just, whenever I hear that, it's just in hindsight, you got to be killing yourself if you're Kyle Shanahan. You just got to be eating at you constantly. But they got Brock Purdy, and a lot of people think he's the next Tom Brady, so there you go.
I don't know about that. All right, 888-957-9570 is the number. I see Dave. I see Bill. We'll get to your calls on the other side. And I also got to get into... something I saw in the Super Bowl last year that led me to believe, what would Kyle Shanahan have done in the situation, or would the situation would have even occurred under Kyle Shanahan? That segment was brought to you by Lucky California.
From the mind of a 2-foot-tall talking Spunks puppet comes this year's biggest challenge. It's time for Bob's Dare to Compare. The hottest game show on TV that asks, what happens when you compare Bob's to the competition? You get style. You get quality. You get beeps and boops and dings and whomps. And thousands of dollars in savings. Everyone's a winner when you dare to compare with Bob's Discount Furniture. Shop in-store or at mybobs.com to play now.
In the fast-paced world of attacking, speed is everything. And that's where the Furon 7 Plus shines. Engineered for accuracy and precision at a rapid pace, it's your secret weapon on the pitch. Experience overall comfort and precise striking, even in the game's fastest moments. The nylon outsole, with its V-shaped stud configuration, is designed for firm ground, giving you the grip you need to outmaneuver your opponents. Step up your attacking game and learn more and purchase the Furon at NewBalance.com.
Odyssey celebrates the back-to-school season, brought to you by T-Mobile. You can count on T-Mobile to help you stay connected on America's largest 5G network.
Oh, 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 O'Reilly!
Protect your vehicle's engine with a full synthetic oil change and save with Mobil 1 at O'Reilly Auto Parts. Purchase 5 quarts of Mobil 1 full synthetic motor oil and receive a $10 O'Reilly gift card after rebate. See store for details. With your Mobil 1 purchase, you'll also receive 2x points during Old Rewards Bonus Points Month at O'Reilly Auto Parts.
Oh, 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 O'Reilly Auto Parts.
For the first time, U.S. subscribers can stream MLB Network 24/7, including select out-of-market games.
Swing and a drive. It's deep. It's gone. Yes!
Stream minor league affiliates.
Home run number one.
Or draft pick number one.
Plus, get MLB Big Inning and live audio for all 30 teams.
Baseball can't get better than this.
Experience the game like never before with MLB Network and At-Bat, your all-in-one baseball destination. Only $6.99 per month. Visit MLB.com/At-Bat for details. Blackout and other restrictions apply. MLB trademarks used with permission.